As you know, I think most of you know, I spent last week in Florida at the beach and just was so refreshed with God blessing me in so many special ways. And of course, that's my time that I really, really love to do a lot of reading and a lot of reflective, contemplative sorts of things with God, and lots and lots and lots of prayer time and reading and thinking and walking and just seeing how big the ocean is and how small we are, at least our problems or concerns, and just to put life in a very dynamic perspective. But anyway, I also watched a lot of television, which was really kind of fun. But I watched a lot of TV preachers. I watched a lot of cool things going on in the world. Like, I saw this new theme park in Orlando, which may seem to be somewhat cheesy in some ways, but what I heard on the TV about it really blessed me. It was like the Holy Lands thing, and they've reconstructed the temple, and they do reenactments of things from the Gospels with Jesus Christ, and they shared how some people actually got physical healing because they just speak the word and stuff. So anyway, it blessed me. I mean, I always try to look for the good, and I try to see that the power of God and His Word, however much, even if just so very slight, is affecting change in the world and goodness, you know. And so, like, one guy was on there, and I was kind of interested in what he was saying, and he was very political, and I don't usually like to listen to political stuff, but I kind of decided to settle in and listen to this guy. And so he was talking about how Thanksgiving, you know, some of the history behind it, and he was talking about since 1941, how in our country, always the week previous and including Thanksgiving Day, is National Read Your Bible Week. And so he challenged everyone, how many of you really do actually know this? And, you know, just the encouragement to read the Word and to be thankful. And so I thought, well, you know, that's something I'd want to share at Thanksgiving dinner when I get home. And then I also thought, well, what I'd like to share from the Word, that it just so very, very beautifully and simply encapsulates just the heart of everything we have to be thankful for, which is in Psalm 103, which just kind of says it all. It is so, so very wonderful. And the Psalm of David, his heart to his Father in those alone times where he was just so very thankful. And it starts out with Psalm 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You know, we're ever reminded to just start with a positive, thankful, appreciative attitude towards God. Every day of my life, I think that, you know, I must first know that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I remind myself of this daily, because the roar of the world is so loud, and I have to remember that God is, and not only is He, but He is there for me as I diligently seek Him. But I don't come at Him with, oh, this is wrong and that's wrong and I want this and I want that. But I must come to Him with great praise and thanksgiving and love and awe. And that's part of why I like the beach so much. But I like so much of everything. I like to take a walk every day because I am in awe. Of what our God has done for us. And that's just the first verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Just to come constantly before His heart. Crawl in His lap and tell Him how much you love Him and how thankful you are. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh my gosh, how much is said there. He forgives us of all of our iniquities. He forgives us of every sin, every shortcoming. Every day I think about that when I have my walk with God, and I think about forgiveness, love, grace, mercy, peace, and power. And I go through the definitions in my little brain of what those things are from a biblical sense, and I think about forgiveness, and it means like what it says in 1 John, that you know, we come to Him and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter how big I just screwed up 2 seconds ago, He is there for me, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So my job is just to build my faith, because unbelief is the opposite of faith, and that's what sin is. It's just missing the mark in life, and God just doesn't want us to miss the mark. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be a powerful people. And if I'm laden with sin and guilt and self-condemnation, I absolutely can't hit the mark for Him. So daily, my heart goes to thank You for forgiving me, for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. It's not about me. It's about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He did for me. He forgives me of all my sins, and He heals me of all my diseases. Every single day, I thank God that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Like, if you'll hold, here, it's in Isaiah 40, 31, and it says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And in the East, you know, this defines an Easternism that described the eagle who would go up to the highest pinnacle point, who was maybe aging and needed to get rid of some feathers, and he would plummet himself down headfirst into the ravine or the waters below and get rid of all his old feathers, and then he would renew his strength. His feathers would come back, and he would start again, begin again. I begin again daily. You know, I am thankful daily that God renews my strength, my youth, like the eagles. And I think of myself as running and not being weary. I think of being very valiant and very strong and very courageous because my youth is renewed like the eagles daily. He satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord, verse 6, executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know, we have the ability to pray perfectly. We can speak in tongues and pray for those who are oppressed. You know, daily I like to think about the globe. I picture it. I've done this since I was 19 years old, since I first heard God's word. That as I learned that a certain believer lived in a certain continent or a certain place on the planet, I would pray for that person. So I've just come to make this a part of my daily routine when I walk, to picture the United States and who I know lives in California and Texas and Arizona, etc., etc., and all around the world. And I think about India, and they get a lot of my prayer time because I just think that that's just so cool how much they've really taken a stand to move God's word and the people we know there. And it keeps me in touch in my brain with remembering who they are. So, you know, how all these places around the world that still need freedom from oppression. So, you know, once God's in the fullness of, God's household is done, then the Lord can return. So we pray for those that are oppressed to be delivered, and those that, need to be set free are set free and can hear the word. So I can't physically do all that. I can't save the world, but I can pray for all these countries and places. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. So Moses had a talking, speaking relationship with God, because his heart had to be that kind of heart, to look to God, to have this kind of relationship with God. And then the people just saw the benefits of this. You know, think about yourself having a walking and talking relationship with God, and that the people around you have the benefit of the light that you shine. It's really true. Like Paul prayed or said, one of his thankful things was, you know, that ability to manifest that Christ within. We all have it. Mercy. You know, mercy means withholding of righteous judgment. You know, we are also screwed up in the flesh that we could get zapped each and every day. But the withholding of that is God's mercy. He's gracious. Grace is unmerited divine favor. We have it and we don't deserve it. God protects and keeps us safe and blessed. You know, it's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's nothing we did. It's because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. And this is all a foreshadowing, and this hasn't even come to pass yet in the New Testament. He's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. You know, this is all very figurative, you know, attributing to God human characteristics. You know, in other words, what goes around comes around. You know, we're going to reap what we sow. He's going to take care of us. We're not rewarded for our sins, nor rewarded according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear or respect Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You know, you go around the earth to the east, and you just keep going, going, going. Mm-hmm. You go to the west, you keep going, going, going as far, infinitely, in a Google, apart our east and west. That's how far God has removed our sins. He, even in the Old Testament, you know, and He remembers them no more. That's what comes next. Not only does He forget them, forgive us, He forgets them. And that's how we must see ourselves to be strong and to be victorious. To bless the Lord, oh my soul, and to be very strong and courageous, we have to not live in sin consciousness. We have to acknowledge daily that He's cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and He doesn't remember them anymore. And verse 13, like a father pities his children or loves his children, so He pities or loves them that respect Him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, praise Him, thankful to Him, worship Him. You know, we have great respect for Him and how great He is and how great what He has wrought in us through Christ Jesus. We have respect to that calling. You know, you don't disregard the heart, the body, the soul, the beauty, the breath, the life that God has given you. You show great respect and honor to it because you house the Spirit of God. It's really important. You know, we don't trash ourselves. We don't have time for negative condemnation in our lives because we house the Spirit of God. We put out the fire when we don't think the positives and the good things that God has said about us. You know, cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. He has healed all our diseases. He's forgiven all of our iniquities. Okay, so let's shine on. Verse 14, for He knows our frame, that He remembers that we're just dust. Hey, He made us. He formed us. He knows who we are and what we are, and He loves us anyway. He meets us right where we're at, no matter what our situation happens to be at the very present moment. You could just be, you know, reigning supreme, or you could just be out to freaking lunch, and He's right there for you as long as you look to Him and say, hey, I'm sorry, help me deal with this. And you keep coming back and keep coming back around, and He's right there for you. His mercy is everlasting. Verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting upon them that respect Him. And His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. You know, in our administration, it's not that different. You know, the basic intangibles of the Old Testament are the same in the New Testament. Love, faith, joy, thankfulness, positiveness, speaking positive, powerful word into being, being very kind. You know, there was some Greek philosopher who said, life is very hard. We need to be very kind to one another. The king, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his words. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In Isaiah 40, where it talks about your youth being renewed like the eagles, you don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 40, 31, there was a really cool little thing in there that, I don't know if I can find it right this second. Maybe I can. Yes, it's in the NIV, and it says in verse 30, even youth grow tired and weary. You know, it's just not us older youth. Verse 30, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, and it's all contingent upon us blessing the Lord, loving the Lord, praising Him, thanking Him daily, who loads us with benefits, and recognizing His strength and power in our lives. And, you know, that He is the source of all supply. He is the one who renews our strength daily, always.